It's good to see each one of you here. I've spent a lot of time of my appreciation for you as a group of God's people, and also the loved ones that I've known for many years and come to love and appreciate very much. I'm going to have to put up with ER, but I had no problem to put up with for the period of time that we were scheduled to be together. But it's good for me to be here, and of course, the process of life that deals us all some difficulties. However, that's a part of life, and I've learned one thing, that we need to be very appreciative and thankful to God for whatever day that you and I have to live to enable us to prepare ourselves for the judgment day. And all of us need to encourage each other. Most of all, that we would receive that encouragement in being more like Christ, to help us to carry out the work and the mission that He has given unto us, that we save ourselves and those that we hear. That was Paul's admonition to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 16. So I could spend a lot of time and talk about those things, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to worship God. We're here to study the Word of God. And in my feeble way, I hope that the series and the things that I have selected to talk about and for us to study with, I hope it will help us along the line that we might be growing spiritually, to recognize the evidence that the Scriptures reveal unto us, to prove unto us beyond the shadow of a doubt who God is and how He expects of us to worship Him. So as we think about our series and the theme of the meeting that I have selected, I didn't even ask the ER what should I speak on, and I probably he would have said you need to speak on the Bible. And that's true. That's what we ought to, and that's why we're here. And as we think about this, that I want us to think about what is our attitude towards things. And I have selected five things that we'll talk about in our series of studies, and I hope that they will help us. And as we look at these, and the following concern that we have is in spiritual matters, not in carnal matters, not in those avenues, but I want us to think about things concerning spiritual matters. And those things that we'll think about in the spiritual matters is what we'll study this morning is God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's the whole Bible, isn't it? We're going to be here for a long time. I know you some have bought food to eat, and we might have that. But I don't know how many of you say to go from Genesis to Revelation. And as we think for this evening, will be Scripture, the church, and the gospel. And as we think about this, what is our attitude towards this? And I believe that depending on our attitude, will determine our total acceptance of God or even our rejection of God above. The third lesson that we'll talk about is truth and the preachers of truth. And as we think about this and we think of the men, and I'm very appreciative of ER and the number of years that I've known and the truth that you stand for. So what is our attitude towards the truth and the preachers of truth? And fourthly, what is our attitude towards false doctrine And it's amazing that the Bible study that you have been involved in, they have talked about a lot of these things, and to bring to remembrance some things that maybe you have already studied and not long ago. But we need to refresh our minds. We need to remember things and go over things from time to time to help us to appreciate what God has done for us. And the last lesson will be the Christian, sin, and the Word of God. So that's my intention for our short period of time that we'll spend this week in studying together from the Word of God, and I hope that I can do your time justice and being able to say it will be time well spent together and learning things and be one that would motivate each other to do more for the will of God. As we begin to think about this, the right attitude is essential for success in any endeavor. And if people don't have the right attitude, it makes no difference what they are involved in or what they need to be involved in. They just won't go along with it. They have a sour attitude, and it's very difficult to get people to do what they need to do. And really what a person is and what he does is affected by his or her attitude. And we need to understand that that's a basic principle. And then as we look thirdly, a person should have the proper attitude in all lines of endeavor, but we're concerned about one's attitude in spiritual things. Attitude is defined a mental position with regard to a fact or state. And you and I, each one of us have developed an attitude about this thing. And it really tells a lot about each one of us. What we are, what we do, what we'll accept, and what we reject. It plays a big part in all of our endeavors. A Bible principle that is very helpful if we will follow. And I don't know if you've thought about Bible principles, things that God has given, and God has even given unto us as a mind to think about. But I want you to think about Isaiah 28. I don't know if E.R. has used this. He probably has, and if so, so. But anyhow, it's good to go over it again. But in Isaiah 28 and verse 10, here's a Bible principle. And this Bible principle is, for precept must build upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now what is Isaiah the prophet saying? Here's a Bible prophecy, and here's a Bible of a prophet that is saying things that God wanted them to pen. And as we read this, do we understand what this principle is? As we think about it, applying this principle, I'm going to use three passages. And these three passages are going to be familiar with us. But there are some questions that would be asked, or I would ask, by taking those verses and looking at them, what can we glean from them? And what can we understand about this Bible principle of precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little? And when we understand this principle, Look at Mark chapter 14 and then verse 47. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Well, the bell told that reads the Bible and understand and spend some time in the scriptures, the bell will go off. And here is a person that we know about. But as you look at this verse and think about precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that we'll understand this principle. But here in this passage, the question I arise with, who and which is? We don't know from this verse, but we know how and with what. What I'm trying to get us to see is, what does the Scripture teach? What can we glean from the Scripture that which we've written? Are we willing to look somewhere else to see if there are the same precepts? Is there are additional information that we put all of these things together to come to a knowledge of the truth? What's wrong in the religious world today, brethren, is this. They want to advocate that everything is in one verse. It does not so. It takes the whole Word of God. And it talks about in the Oratorian Bible, the number of, quote, religious divisions or denominations there are in the world today. Why are they there? Now, I'm convinced if people will apply what we're speaking of this morning, of understanding this Bible principle, there will not be all the division. We'll all be one. We'll all be of the same mind and of the same judgment. That will be unity and all the other things that the Bible teaches. But as we continue to look at this Bible principle, that the second lesson, the second verse I want to look at is in Matthew 26 and verse 51, that deals with the same event, only Mark's event and Matthew's event is different here. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus, now we've got some more information, stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. So if we look at this one again, who and which ear? We don't know from this verse. But we know how and who lives with. We have additional information, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Then thirdly, in John 18 and verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, truly, smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. We have a lot of information, don't we? What did Isaiah say? If you take and do all of these things, you'll be able to come to the knowledge of truth. So let's suppose that I would say that Simon Peter was left-handed, was 6'2" tall. What would you want to know? Where is it found? Where is the evidence? Where is the information that supports that what you want, that you saw it? Well, that's the religious world enough. They don't want to use this Bible principle. And sadly to say, brethren, many people that quote to be following Christ and the goals of the dying, the church of Christ, whom we're eating. And that's what's saying. That will continue. What is our attitude toward God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit in creation? When you look at creation, and as things came to be, God said, let that be, and things came to be. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God said, let us. Do we know who the us are? Do we have any time? Do we really love and appreciate what God has created us to be? And if we'll start out with that premise, and then we look at the purpose by which you and I were put here on this earth, was to worship and serve God in accordance to His instructions. The redemption plan was created and given even before man was created, before the foundation of the world. As you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. And as you think about how we are, where we are, we are here because of choices. And I'm glad you're here. We are here for the purpose that God has revealed in His Word. To worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because really that's the only acceptable worship that He will even accept. As we continue thinking, what is our attitude toward God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit? In 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 7, for thy authority that by record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. One what? One person. It's amazing if you go with that concept as a lot of religious people do. Then you have, as you studied in your oratorium class, in John 17, Christ praying unto the Father, but they, the oneness people were saying, He was praying to Himself. And we can spend a lot of time on that. But the principle I want us to think about is the importance of God, the importance of Christ, and the importance of the Holy Spirit. And then what is my attitude towards these? And do I rightly divide the Word of God, and do I take precept upon precept, line upon line, hear a little, by a little, and add it all up? We must. We've already looked at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, with us make man in our own image. But notice in John 14 and verse 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, I mean, imagine if it were not so, I would have told you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. So here we have two of deity that is mentioned. You have the Father and you have the Son, Christ. And as we think about this, Jesus said, that He would send the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. And He would do three things. And as you look at these three things that you find in John 16 and verse 8, And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is, we could take a long time and talk about these three things. However, for the time that I just want to emphasize the importance of deity. And if we take what the scriptures teach and we build on that and come to a knowledge of the truth, we'll be able to answer any man to ask the reason for the hope of sinners, yet with meekness and fear. Because we have been equipped. Thoroughly equipped with what? With the Word of God. We'll talk about that more in detail as we get into our week. But as we look at things that God has said, and brethren, I'm not telling you anything yet. And yet, sometimes we fail to put things as a front. We don't have it before. It may be behind us, but we can't see it, we can't utilize it because it's back here. We need to have things up front and to utilize those things that God wants us to utilize. And really, in John chapter 16, in verses 9 to 11, he talks about those three things. Of sin, because they believe not in me or not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Do you think Satan knows where he's going to be? And where's he going to be? And what do we know about hell? The only thing we know about hell is that which we read in the scriptures. Do you want to go to that? I don't believe you do, because I believe you wouldn't be here today if you wanted to go to that. But if we go to heaven, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take help from our part. It's going to take diligence on our part. It's going to take making changes a long life way on our part. It's going to cause us to accept truth and live by the truth and teach the truth. We'll talk about those a little more in our week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 9 to and 9 and 10, there are other verses I'll use in this. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. God has prepared for them that love him. God has both revealed unto them, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit is by means the reason why we have His book. Because the Spirit guided the apostles and revealed unto them the things of God, even the deep things of God. Why are these things not understood today in the religious world? Because they're spiritually discerned. They don't want to understand the spiritual meaning. They're not concerned about spiritual matters, which is the most. As you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Look at verse 11. For what knoweth the thing of a man? Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Yeah. How do you know what someone else is thinking? I know, I think we'll ever tell you, I know what you think. No, you don't. The only way we know what someone thinks is they tell us. You want to know what God thinks about the church? Really? What do you have to do to find out what God wants you to know about the church? Look at this book. Okay. How do we know about what pleases God? Put it in this book. Okay. It's been revealed by the Spirit of God. Even the deep things of God. He has revealed them on to us. So we may understand, so we might put into practice those things he desires us to do. When you look at the baptism of Jesus, here again to look at deity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Lord voice from heaven saith, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." When you look at the transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, it's almost the same thing. The only thing it is three more words used in what John said. Here again, back to your principle of understanding what Isaiah meant. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. In Matthew 17, in verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and the Lord voiced out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." How does God speak to us today? Now we study in Hebrews 1 and verses 1 and 2, God, who in sundry times and divers manners and times has spoken to the Father by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son. We have the New Testament. We are to abide and to do the things that God revealed in his Word under the New Testament. Under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses, but under the law of Christ. We've spent a lot of time on this. And brethren, I hope that for this week, I will present things, and I hope that you can get beyond to find a lesson based on something that maybe we have talked about. Ephesians 3. And verses 2 through 5. We'll look at other verses on the next slide. If you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, with how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And I wrote a few words for and a few words whereby. Notice that. Whereby. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, is now revealed unto his holy apostles by the prophets, by the Spirit. Let me pause here just a minute to say this. There are people that will advocate, and sorry that the phrase that you or I might use is not right. That we need to understand the Bible. And I believe, and they will question whether or not this is going to be a true statement. I believe people who understand the Bible will understand it a lot. Now think about that. I believe and I'm convinced if people understand the Bible, they'll understand it a lot. However, people can misunderstand either one person or two people that are discussing it. Both of them can be one that misunderstands. But if we understand the Bible, we'll understand it a lot. Because the Bible is truth. Truth never changes. What God says, you can count on. And that what you said is beyond any shadow of a doubt. And now, back to Ephesians 4. In verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, I thought we were going to talk about the gospel later on in the week. We will, if Lord will. Do we not see how when you're putting precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that you have all the information coming in to challenge our thinking, and we need to devote time in doing that. And the attitude that we have for these things will determine who we are and what we are. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I mentioned long ago, we need to be people that are diligent, people that put forth effort, because I believe it's the mandate of God. In John 14 and verse 1, the fool is said in his heart, to does not know. So there are two classes of people. And you can make a list. That God's word revealed two classes of people. There's the just, there's the unjust. There's the righteous, there's the unrighteous. There's the saved, there's the lost. And now two questions. But we choose. By our decisions and the things that God has revealed, will we accept them and be obedient to them and practice them or not, which group did you and I be in? And keep in mind, when we think about this, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You know what Amos 4 and verse 12, admonition and warning is? Prepare to meet God. Because you know what? One day we will. One day you and I stand before the judgment bar of God, and we'll give an account of the deeds that are done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. It's a serious matter to know who God is, and we're people to realize that He is the one that is in a part of creation. The heavens fire the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. I wish our time not running short. I want to look at the statement that people, and if you think for just a minute, of all the vast monies which we don't have as a country, that is spent to try to figure out if there's life on other planets. And people, they say, well, we found water there. or there's evidence that there were once one. And they will take it and evaluate that and say that because of how they look at things on earth. And just because somebody says something doesn't make it right, doesn't make it true. But I would like to challenge our thinking. If man leaves his habitation, which is this earth, and goes to another planet, what is he going to have to take with him? Everything that's the same supply. He's going to have to take food. He's going to have to take water. He's going to have oxygen. And you look at that, and then you look at all the other planets. And isn't it amazing when man is able to have enough ability to be able to develop these powerful telescopes that are able to find a, quote, new moon or a new something? Is it new? Or was it there when God said, let us? And yet, we'll leave it with this passage. I don't have it on the overhead. But in Colossians 1 and in verse 23, talking about man, if he looked at where God places man, he placed it here on this earth. Notice what it says. I said Colossians 1, guess what? That's not the right place. It's in Acts 17. The outline you get that. And I hope that's the right place for it. In verse 28, this is one of the benefits of growing older. In Acts 17 and in verse 28, sorry about that. Verse 26, I'm sorry. And God has made one blood, all nations of men, and to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined the time before appointed, and the bound of their inhabitants. It's you. As we continue on, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it's good or what is bad or evil. In John chapter 8 and in verse 24, I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sin. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sin. That's how serious it is of not knowing about God, about Christ, and the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 28, and fear not him that can kill the body, but be not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. You know what I'm convinced of, brethren? More people are afraid of IRS than they are of God. And that's a sad commentary. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. who has all power today? Christ will. Because he's given unto him by the Father. God gave him. And he is the one that has all power today in heaven and in earth. And then as you look at the commission that is given unto the apostles, so you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and Lord with you, always unto the end of the age. In Romans 1 and verse 4, when you look at Jesus' resurrection, it made a statement to the world. And by his resurrection, it declared him to be the Son of God. Beyond any shadow of a doubt, he's the first fruit from the dead. He was able to be victorious over death and the grave. And as you look in Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood. And when you look at the Spirit, as Paul was giving his report here to the Ephesian elders, and the serious responsibility that the elders have over an institution that is a blood-bought institution which Christ purchased with his own blood, that we as the children of God are a part of that. And we ought to live in a way and conduct ourselves in a way that will never bring shame and reproach upon the church. In Ephesians 4 and verse 6, or Ephesians 4 and verses 4 through 6, the seven ones. There is one body and one spirit, and even your calling, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and in you all, and through you all. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 22 and 23, it's amazing. You studied this morning, didn't you? And that put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here for the premillennial people. This is a passage you can keep in the back of your mind when you talk to the premillennial people. Remember what they advocate, and they will misuse and misapply Revelation 20. The 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth and all of that, which Revelation 20 doesn't even deal with that, yet they rest the scriptures to get it to do it. But notice, when you take precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, and when you understand truth, that you understand about when the end of time comes and what's going to happen. Notice, when the end of time comes, then cometh the end. Notice now, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. The premillennial says, this is when the kingdom goes start here on earth. But here Paul says, when that time comes, the end of time, rather than kingdom started, that's when I'm going to give it up to God. As when I give them was without spot, without wrinkle, without any blemish. Brethren, I believe if a person could see through the rungs of a ladder and see that truth, if they want to. You didn't think I was going to ever get to this point. So we're here, and we're with God. It all depends. It all depends on you and I. Our attitude. And our attitude is that which makes us who we are and what we are. And you and I can fear God and reverence God. Or we can look at God as if he is nothing. Till we realize him as being the creator. And we're one through money. By the chance that you look in Psalm 139, I believe in verse 14, we are one through money. You look at the body. What it's able to do, how it's able to function, how God designed it for it to heal itself in a lot of cases. Are we thankful? And are we appreciative of God? Remember, our attitude towards God will determine our action right to his wisdom. And whatever I have to you, God, will determine these lines. What think you of Christ? Oh, he's a pretty good tongue, a good man. Can we look at him as he is revealed in the scripture? Whose son is this? Are we convinced? Do you know and do I know why signs and wonders were given? Here? John writes in John 20 and verses 30 and 31. They were given to prove that beyond any doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. And if we have enough evidence, and we do, that proves beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there will be no need, and is no need, for spiritual gifts tonight. Do we truly believe that Christ is the Son of God? That he was raised from the dead? What if Christ had not arose? When you study 1 Corinthians 15, and if you look down in about verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 15, that if in this life we are out of hope, we're of all men most miserable. Brethren, if this life is all there is, why are you here today? Because we believe that there is life after death. And the importance of being here will help us to receive the reward for being faithful unto death. Recognize Christ as the head of the church. Remember, our attitude toward Christ will determine our actions, and our action will determine our eternal well-being and welfare. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is one of the three personalities of Deity? Do you believe he inspired men to speak and write the truth? Do we believe the word he revealed? Do we? Do you believe the word that the Holy Spirit revealed? That the prophets and the inspired men wrote down in this book? Do you believe it or not to function? To receive the benefit for so doing. Now lastly, remember our attitude toward the Holy Spirit will determine our actions to the Word He revealed, and in turn determine our eternal destiny. My eye will go to a black screen, but he didn't. That's it. But let me start in closing. I don't apologize for speaking the truth and the time that we do that. I try to keep it in reasonable time. And we run over. And I'll try to do better. But most of all, I'm hopeful and prayerful. The things that I have presented will challenge all of our minds. It calls us to reflect upon our own self. And then insert her, and so in turn that we'll be able to help her. But the question for us to answer today, if we're not a child of God, then the next question is obvious or not. What other life that is more rewarding than the life of living for God in Christ? If we live in the world, no hope for eternal life from God. If we are a child of God and we are one that has rendered obedience to the gospel by being obedient to the plan of redemption, and if you need to do that, we hope and pray that you will today. And we'd be glad to assist you in that thing. However, if you are a child of God and there are things in your life that are contrary to the will of God, will you not make that right today? You might say, well, sometime I will. How do you know how long you'll be here? How long do you think you'll live? Don't put off tomorrow. Because we don't know what tomorrow might bring. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Be receptive to the truth, and we'll be glad to pray for you and help you in any way that we can. Will you not come? All together we stand and sing. Of the world, no hope for eternal life with God. If we are a child of God and we are one that has rendered obedience to the gospel by being obedient to the plan of redemption, and if you need to do that, we hope and pray that you will today. We'd be glad to assist you in that thing. However, if you are a child of God and there are things in your life that are contrary to the will of God, will you not make that right today? You might say, well, sometime I will. How do you know how long you'll be here? How long do you think you'll live? Don't put off tomorrow. Well, we don't know what tomorrow might bring. Today, if you will hear his voice, I will not your life. Be receptive to the truth, and we'll be glad to pray for you and help you in any way that we can. Will you not come? All together we stand and sing.